Great, thanks so much. Do keep your Bibles open in Galatians 5. We're going to be jumping back in there. And as I say, really, really special to be back. I should have mentioned before, I actually was here 7 years ago, right in, I think, probably the infancy of Town Church Bicester. And it is great, again, just to be keeping in touch with Lynx and Ridley and some of the other guys who have been telling me about the work that's going on here, how God is working in and through you in the church. And so it really is special to be able to come back and pick up again in this series that you've been looking at in the Holy Spirit. And again, it's exciting as we think about the Holy Spirit, the person of who he is that Link shared about in the first week. Again, looking at the work that he's done, if you're trusting in Jesus, that regeneration of your heart, that picture in Ezekiel of dry bones becoming living. It's exciting what we're chatting about, and I hope again that you will leave excited and encouraged off the back of what we're looking at today as we look at how the Holy Spirit, who is God himself, works in you today. And that's what we're going to be looking at. How will the living God work in your heart? What is the work that he seeks to do? And as I say, we're going to be using those verses in Galatians. But before we dive in, let me just pray for us. And then we're going to dive in to what the Holy Spirit seeks to do, the ongoing work that he will do in our hearts of those who are trusting him. But let me pray. Lord God, I ask that today you would speak so clearly to us through your word. God, today I ask that you would give us ears to hear you clearly, God, eyes to see you. And God, we ask that through your spirit working in us, please give us hearts that cherish you as a result of seeing you more clearly today. God, we ask this in your name for your glory and for our joy. Amen. So, the ongoing work of the Spirit in the heart of every believer. What is that work? What does it look like? Three things we're going to unpack today, and we're going to just dive straight in. Because here's the first thing that we're going to unpack. The work of the Spirit, the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in your life is day by day and moment by moment. If you're taking notes, write that down. And it's great to see some of you guys are taking notes. The Holy Spirit's ongoing work in the heart of every Christian is moment by moment and day by day. And maybe you hear me say that and you think, Phil, obviously, I've got that. You need to catch up. You need to hear where we've been in the previous series. We've spoken about the work that God does in the heart of all those believers. I know that he's done a work in my heart. And if you're a Christian, I hope that you don't just know that intellectually, but I hope you really know that experientially in your life. That you know that God has made you alive. Oh, I hope that you know what that means to be regenerated. To see what the Holy Spirit has done as he reveals the truth of who Jesus is in your heart. I hope that as a Christian you can look back and say, that was the moment. I can see the work that he does. I know that he dwells in me. But I wonder if someone was to ask you this. How has the Holy Spirit worked in your life over the last month? In what ways have you seen God at work at you over the last week or even the last day? What would you say? See, I think if you're a little bit like me, you'd maybe struggle to articulate that in the same way. See, I'm sure if you've been a Christian for a longer period of time, you can look back over your life and you can point out those really significant moments. Those moments where you say, you know what, the Holy Spirit enabled me to cherish Jesus and what he's done more than I can remember. Oh, I remember that season. For me, 19 years old, oh, I remember as the Spirit enabled me to see more of Jesus, starting to grasp a little bit more about what it meant to be saved by grace for the first time. Grace and grace alone. Or maybe at age 24, being able to understand more of the heart of Jesus, being able to see what actually was that drove him to the cross, being blown away by the depth of his love for his people. Those are significant moments where I can look back on and say, you know what, that was the Holy Spirit working in my heart and in my life, enabling me to see more of who Jesus is and deepening my relationship with God. And I hope you can too. But you know, if we think that those moments or those seasons in our lives are the totality of the work of the Spirit in our lives, then I think we miss the bigger picture of his work. See, I think when we think of the Spirit's work as just appearing in seasons, it can be a little bit like this. It can be a little bit like the special guest appearance in an American TV program. You know what it's like? I'm sure if you've seen an American TV program, you watch, they've all kind of got similar startings, don't we? They have this directed by this name. They have produced by this name, written by this name. They go through a whole list starring him, starring her. And then just as the program's about to start, or the particular episode, what does it say? It might be on the screen. Maybe, I think Reedy's maybe gone missing. He was going to flick it on. Doesn't matter. But you might see on the screen this. It'll be a name. And it'll say, special guest appearance from this particular name. And you will know that when you see that name, Brad Pitt, the name we have on the screen was, fair play if you know who this is, Julia Louise Dreyfus, if you know who that is. But when you see that name and special guest appearance, you know that somebody is going to make an entrance into the programme that's going to make a significant impact. The character shows up, they have a huge impact on the show, and they're there maybe for a couple of episodes, and then they disappear again. The special guest appearance, not a regular, but they show up, make a big impact, and then off they go. Friends, let me tell you this today. That is not how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit is not the special guest appearance in your life who rocks up, makes a bit of an impact, and then disappears again. He doesn't just show up to inject a bit of energy into your Christian life, and then off he goes. But the Bible makes it clear that the Holy Spirit is a constant in the life of the believer. He's the one that we are to live our lives with. See, just look down at Galatians 5. Look how Paul says we should relate to the Holy Spirit as Christians. Walk by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Not look out for his special guest appearance, but the reminder that he is with us always and he exists to do a work in us constantly, day by day and moment by moment. And you know, if we don't live according to this truth, and if we live as if the Holy Spirit is just a special guest who will make an appearance every now and again, then inevitably we begin to see ourselves as the star of the show. And we will think that the Christian life is all about what we do. Oh yes, we know the Spirit does a work. We know he has revealed what Jesus has done in our lives. We know that he's applied them to us. And without him and without him dwelling in me, do you know, I would not know who Jesus is. But when it comes to the nitty-gritty, day-to-day living the Christian life, well, if I think the Holy Spirit is the special guest appearance, then I will think it's all about me. Oh, friends, if we see, and we will see this in a moment, that if the Holy Spirit works like this, he's not the special guest appearance, but if we picture ourselves as the ones who have to do all the work, well, do know we have got the work of the Spirit wrong. He is the one who works in us moment by moment, day by day. That's the first thing. So what is the second thing? What is his work? Well, here it is. The work of the Spirit is to produce his fruit in our lives. Look, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Look at verse 22. What does it actually look like? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It is the work of the Spirit to transform our hearts and transform our lives so that we would bear these attributes, that we would bear the fruit of the Spirit. That is his goal. That is his work in the heart of every believer. But again, do you know, if you're anything like me, when I read this passage, I miss the obvious words that Paul writes in Galatians. And Dean Ortland, he's an American pastor and minister. You've maybe read some of his books. But he says so often, and I'm paraphrasing him, he says the Christian life is so often about unlearning what we think God is like and coming to understand who he really is in his word. And I think that quote is so true for me when I come to read Galatians 5. Because I read Galatians 5, and although the words are so clear that to produce the fruit of the Spirit is his work in us, I read it and immediately I think, okay, how can I will this change an action into my life? And rather than recognizing that the transformation of my heart is the work of the Spirit, I live like it's up to me to carry the weight of his work. And do you know, I'll read Galatians 5 and I'll think to myself, if I could just be a little bit more patient, then I'd stop flying off the handle at my children. Oh, if I could just be a little bit more self-controlled, then I could kill that particular sin in my life. Oh, if I could just stop being self-obsessed, then I would stop trying to please people all the time. And when I read a passage like Galatians 5, my natural way of thinking is this: if only I could do, then I would be. And so I'll go off and I'll think about all the things I'll need to do, and I'll go and buy the best self-help book from the best author. And so often I'll fill my mind with information. I'll think, you know what, I've just got to optimize my time, optimize my life, so that through my effort and work, I might see the fruit of the Spirit. Friends, the Bible makes it so clear that we cannot do the work that only the Holy Spirit can do. And if and when we attempt to carry the weight of his work, do you know, it will inevitably leave us crushed under its weight. Oh, I wonder today, do you feel that? Maybe you're caught in a way of thinking that if only you could change, or that lasting change is only possible through your striving. And when you fall short, you feel crushed. Or maybe you're on the other side of it. And maybe you think, rather than striving, you're just feeling in despair. And you read a passage like this, perhaps young in your faith, and you see the list of the fruit of the Spirit, and you think, me? I could never be like that. Or maybe you're a little bit more mature in your faith, and you look back and you think, oh, I've strived for years and years. I've tried to see this in my life through my own effort. And you think, you know what, even after all that time of striving, I am so far off. Friends, if you're feeling weary from your striving, if you're feeling lost in your despair, read Galatians 5 and rest in the truth that the transformation of your heart is a work and weight that you were never made to carry. Because look at what Paul does not say in Galatians 5. He doesn't just say to you, Christian, work out how to be more loving. He doesn't say to you, Christian, you need to stir up more joy in your heart. He doesn't say, you've just got to be better. No. What does he say? Verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit. Verse 25. Christian, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with him. Walk by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit, and the Spirit will do his work in you. We're going to unpack a little bit more at the end of what it looks like to keep in step with the Spirit. But please see clearly today that you cannot do the work that only the Spirit can do. Or you can try to carry the weight of his work. You can strive and you can strategize all you like, but you will be left crushed. You'll be weary from your striving. You can feel lost in your despair. But let's rest in the truth that when we walk with him, he will carry out his work day by day and moment by moment. Stop your striving. Come out of your despair. Rest that he will do the work. And what is this work? How will he bring about this fruit, this transformation of your heart and your life? Well, he does it, as we've already seen, he does this through illuminating the truth of who Jesus is and enabling us to delight in him all the more. You've already seen an illustration of this first week. I unfortunately didn't get to see it, but I heard it on the podcast. First week, who made an appearance under the spotlight? The Incredible Hulk. Illuminated for all to see. And just like that, well, not just like that, but similar to that, the Spirit illuminates who Jesus is in our life, enables us to savor him all the more. And as he does that, He will produce that fruit in us. And as he enables me to see him more clearly, day by day and moment by moment, through his word and through his world, do you know, our desires will change. They'll weaken. The things that we used to love, the sinful desires, the flesh, as it chats about in Galatians 5, the Spirit will change them. And rather than delighting in those, we will desire to delight in Jesus all the more. And as he does that work in us, he will produce fruit in our hearts. See, it's a little bit like this. Give me a little wave if you're a coffee drinker. Okay, good for you, that's good. Okay, give me a little wave if you're a coffee, if you like highbrow coffee, you like a good cup of coffee, come on, give us a wave. Good, okay. You will know what it's like. If you're a coffee drinker, you will know what it's like, the journey. Your first cup, I mean, it has to be an instant, isn't it? Someone's poured you a Nescafe, you've drank it, and you think, oh, this is coffee. For me, it was at university. Someone gave me a cup of coffee, I thought, this is great. And I went a little and I bought myself some kind of Colombian instant coffee. And let me tell you, I absolutely loved it. I thought it was great. And then I went over to someone's house and, you know, they had an espresso machine. Oh, delicious. Give me a little pod, Indian blend. Absolutely delicious. Still my favourite. But then you go a little bit further again and you go off, you get a job, you go out, you can afford a £5.90 Colombian mixed blend pour over. And you get that in your hipster cafe and you take a sip of it and you are like, oh my goodness, there are levels to this thing. This is real coffee. And then you go round to someone's house and they boil the kettle and they say, would you like a cup of coffee? And you say, yes, what do you have? And you hear those dreaded words. Tesco Gold instant coffee. Oh, you shudder at the thought of that passing your lips. Your skin crawls at the thought of instant coffee. How revolting is that? Something that you once thought was so great, something that you had a desire for, now you have no desire for, because you know there is something far greater to experience. And you know, that is what the Spirit does in our hearts. As he illuminates Jesus, as he allows us to experience more of who he is, he shows that the sinful things that we used to love to do, do not compare to being in relationship with Jesus. As the Spirit shows us the true fullness of life is only found in trusting him, he weakens our desires for the sinful things of the world. And this is the ongoing work of the Spirit in the life of the Christian. This is how the eternal God of all things will bring about real and lasting change in your life. To reveal more of himself to you. To show you the heart that he has for you. To day by day reveal more of himself to you so that you can experience and delight and find joy in knowing and living in relationship with him. And as he does that, just like how many of us would shudder when offered instant coffee, so the sinful desires of our flesh will make us shudder and recoil because we know that Jesus is better. That is his work. The Spirit kills the desires of our flesh through showing us and enabling us to see that Jesus is infinitely better than anything else in this world. Oh, friends, I wonder, do you see the work of the Spirit in your life? Do you see how he works in you day by day and moment by moment? He's working in you. In those moments where you resist sin because you love Jesus, he is working in you. In that moment where you share Jesus with a friend who isn't a Christian because you just want them to know the joy of life found in him. Oh, in that moment when you trust the promises that obedience to Jesus will bring you more joy and satisfaction than the sinful desire that will burn within you, that is the Holy Spirit working in your heart. And if we keep in step with him, he will bring about lasting change in your life. He'll kill the sinful desires. He'll transform your hearts. And as he shows us more of who Jesus is and enables us to treasure and savor Christ more, do you know, you will see the fruit of the Spirit being displayed in your life. That's his work. That's what he seeks to do in us moment by moment, day by day, every day of our lives. And we will, and as we see, this transformation will come around when we keep in step with the Spirit. And this is our third and last point. Because what does it actually mean for us to keep in step with the Spirit? See, although we've seen and we know that real lasting change is only possible in our lives through the work of the Spirit, that does not mean that believers can just sit back idly. No, as we see in these verses, we do have a part to play. But look how Paul describes it. Again, we've already mentioned it. It's keeping in step. It's walking with the Spirit, living by him. The picture he gives is a picture of closeness, a picture of oneness, of an intimate relationship. And the point that Paul's trying to make here is that Christians, we are to live our lives recognizing the truth that God is with us every step of the way in our lives. He wants us to live in light of that truth. He reminds us that the journey of our lives for not one second is walked alone. That in the journey of our lives as believers, there are always two sets of footprints. That in every big decision we face, and every tough circumstance that we respond to, that God, through his Spirit, is right there with us. Not just for us to consult and go to in the tough times, but he is there, working in us, showing us Jesus, enabling us and giving us the desire to do what glorifies him. And Paul says, walk in step with him. In the big moments of your lives and in the small mundane moments of your lives, remember that God is with us through his Spirit. And as we've seen, as we walk by the Spirit, the promise is that he will do his work. So how can we keep in step with the Spirit? What does it look like? Well, here's one thing for us to think about as we finish off. We walk in step with the Spirit. We can be helped in walking in step with the Spirit when we remember his personal presence with us and to trust in his promises for us. Do you know one of the greatest truths in the Bible, one of the greatest promises that Jesus gives his people, I think we see in Matthew 28. Right at the end of Matthew's gospel, when Jesus stands before his disciples and gives them the promise that he will be with them always to the very end of the age. Do you know that promise is for us? The presence of God is with us through his Spirit. And do you know it changes everything about the Christian life? Because if we forget about the presence of God with us each day, then our love for him will be like love and admiration for somebody that we don't quite know, but we still love. See, let me tell you, think of somebody now, okay, that you admire in your life, but you don't personally know them. Okay, think of somebody now. Could be an author, could be a director, could be a sports person, whatever you fancy. Who is somebody that you really admire and love, but you don't actually know? For me, if you know me at all, I absolutely love films. And for me, somebody that I deeply admire, a guy called Christopher Nolan. Anybody a fan of Christopher Nolan films? Yeah, come on. He's absolutely brilliant. Interstellar, what a film. Christopher Nolan's work through his film, it touches me. It moves me, it entertains me. I think it's absolutely amazing. And my admiration of him as a filmmaker, do you know, it gives me the desire to know him more. Somebody said to you, Phil, who would you want to have around for dinner? If you could have anyone in the world around your house for dinner, Christopher Nolan would be right at the top of the list. My admiration of him from his work gives me a desire to know him better. But here's the thing. I don't know him. I don't have his number. He's not present with me. I've never met him. I probably never will. And so because I do not know him and because he's not present in my life, my admiration for him is distant and just through his work. And you know, if we forget the wonderful truth that God is present in our lives through his Holy Spirit, well, our love for God can be a little bit like that. Yeah, we can be in awe of the beauty of God. We can look at his creation and be absolutely blown away by his power and creativity. We can even look at the cross and be blown away by the grace that he's shown us through Jesus. But if we forget the truth that God is with us right now through his Spirit, then our love for him can feel distant. It can feel like we love him through an admiration of his work. But when we remember that the Holy Spirit is in us, that he's with us, moment by moment and day by day, it changes things. Because his presence is in us, we don't simply admire God for what he did. We get to know God personally. He lives in us. We get to be present with the director. We get to personally know the author. And when we walk with him, remembering his personal presence with us, do you know what brings life to us both individually and together as a church? Because when we know that God is with us, when we gather here together as a church, we don't just come to remind ourselves of what God said years ago, but we come to hear God speak actively through his living word. Or when you come to church to sing, and when you pray, you don't simply do it to encourage each other and sing a song to remind yourselves of truths, but we praise the God who is here and who listens and delights to hear our songs. Or in those moments in your own life where you just don't know what to do and where to go. In the moments of pain and desperation, when you cry out to God for help, you don't just cry in the hope that a distant God will hear you, but you speak to the one who is with you. God is a personal God who lives with you, whose presence is with you every day. And you know, he delights in you more than your deepest and most intimate relationships on earth. And because of his great love for us, we get to do this life with him. We can rejoice with him in our successes. We can thank him regularly in each moment of the day for the good things that he gives us. We can be quick to confess our sins to him and be assured of his forgiveness in that moment. We can share Jesus with others confidently, knowing that he can act and work in their hearts and transform their lives. And we can ask him for help in every situation and challenge that we face. Or as you walk down the corridor of your school on Monday morning, he is with you. As you adjust and adapt to the new job that you've done, he is with you. As you deal with that debilitating health condition, his personal presence is with you. As you battle that anxiety in your own mind that nobody else knows about, he knows about it, he cares, he listens, and he is with you. He is with, his personal presence is with you every day, moment by moment, and he does a work in our lives. So let's keep in step with him, as close as our closest friends. Let's speak to him with prayers. Let's listen to his voice through his word and continue to trust in his promises. And as he does that, and as the Spirit illuminates more of who Jesus is and enables us to savour our Saviour, may we know the joy and life that is found in that. And as the Spirit enables us to trust him more, day by day, may each of us come to see and know the ripe and abundant fruit that he will produce in our lives. Let me pray as we finish. God, we pray to you today that you would work in each of our lives. Lord, we pray that through your Spirit you would show us more of yourself, and that through enabling us to see more of you, may you help us to trust in you day by day and moment by moment. And Lord, we ask that you would do your work in us. God, help us to be both individually as people and a church that savours and delights in you more than anything else this world offers. Oh God, would you produce a fruit in this church here in Bicester? Produce a fruit in them that is visible for all the town to see. God, we ask this for the joy of your people, for your church, for the salvation of the world, and for the glory of your Son. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.